Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
If you're ready to use your money to make a life rather than using your life to make money, stay tuned. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to introduce you to Laura Rotter, the owner of a company called True Abundance Advisors. She is a heart-centered and values-based business financial planning firm based in New York. After she had a successful career managing money for institutional investors, including Citicorp and Parrot Advisors, she discovered mindfulness practices and was drawn to guide professionals facing a big life change to achieve both financial security and life satisfaction. So we are thrilled to have her today. We're going to talk about how entrepreneurs can use money to live life on purpose. So thank you so much, Laura, for joining us today.
I'm looking forward to our conversation.
One of the things I'm always interested in is, how do people choose the career that they're in? So what took you on a journey to become a financial planner?
As Jean said in the introduction, this is a second career for me. I was one of those nerds in high school that discovered that I could have a really interesting career and make good money from it. I was the primary breadwinner of my family of five, three kids and a wonderful husband. And so the second decade of my career, I just took it for granted. It's what I did for almost 10 years. I no longer enjoyed what I did. The environment changed. It was now the frat boys in college, leveraging relationships to make money. And I started to think about leaving. And my husband was very contrary, said, you agreed to be the primary breadwinner. I said, I liked what I did. I didn't realize I had signed a contract to continue to do it. And as Jeannie said in the introduction, I had found yoga and mindfulness. It made me aware that I was choosing to be a victim of my life rather than authoring it. If I was wearing a pair of tight shoes, I was the one who could make a decision to take them off. And so I started to teach yoga in my home in the evening. Wall Street left me November 2013, so it's been a little over a decade. And I thought I could teach yoga. But that too would require me being public. All us entrepreneurs know people don't just come to your door when you hang out a sign. You have to be on social media. You have to be publicizing your business. And I thought between the two, as a woman in my 50s with tight hamstrings, should I build a yoga practice or should I take the decades of financial market experience and fluency and use that to build a new business? And so I actually explored becoming a rabbi. I explored becoming a yoga teacher, which I did. And then I decided maybe being a financial advisor for women might be how I could meld, as I've said it, yoga with money, because there's so much anxiety and shame around money. So if I was someone who could create a safe space for people to talk about their money and organize and clarify their money, that maybe that was my calling. So that was my decision in 2016 to start my firm, True Abundance Advisors.
Your journey there, because deciding that you could take off the tight shoes, right? Like you were the person who could decide to take them off, and realizing that just because the career had changed when you were on Wall Street didn't mean you didn't still have all this wisdom and knowledge and experience. And I love how you decided to shift it to a more holistic approach.
On the institutional side of Wall Street, we always would like to say that, of course, though we're managing money, let's say for Harvard's endowment, that is ultimately helping people get scholarships at whatever else, but it's not the same thing at all as dealing one-on-one with people and their emotions and the stories they've grown up with around money, and helping them both face it, acknowledge it, and move beyond it.
And you also work with people when they have like big life changes. That's always such a hard time. You're dealing with emotional things, family, friends, and then you've got to think about the financial aspect of it. I feel like when people are in that stage, things coming at them from all directions.
Yes. And it's an interesting point, Jean, in that most of the time when people call a financial advisor, there is some sort of transition going on. Could be as simple as, I'd like to retire soon. Am I in the position to do it? Because it's not that easy to speak to a complete stranger about your money. There has to be some catalyst, something going on that has someone pick up the phone. And so I really recognize and acknowledge that I'm dealing with people when they're already in a state of discomfort and transition.
Now, do you work with a lot of entrepreneurs?
I'll tell you the truth is not really. I do. I myself became an entrepreneur. I've recognized that it's important to keep my judgments and my values distinct from others. I'm thinking of two women in particular that when they started to work with me were what I would call Schedule C. They had their own businesses. Schedule C is an IRS tax form that enables you to write off plenty of expenses against your income. And while working with me, became W-2 employees. So chose to both of them to work with companies that they were consultants for. Everybody has different levels of comfort with uncertainty, with funding your own health insurance, and other choices that we make when we decide to become entrepreneurs. I've had nightmares about going back to work for an employer. My values are not their values. My comfort level with uncertainty is not their comfort level.
Finding the right person to help them with their finances is so important. Because when your business is at a certain level, you file as an S-Corp, so you do get a W-2 even working for yourself. But you have all the pressure of your personal finances and then your business finances. And I think it can sometimes feel overwhelming to then think about, how do I plan for retirement? But I like your idea of having a life on purpose. Many business owners start their businesses because they want to have control over their time. They want to have control over their finances. But we often know that they sometimes end up working 80 hours a week, so they don't really have control over their time. And then they often don't, they're just so busy trying to make money, they forget to figure out, how to invest it, or am I living based on my values? So what are some of your advice for everyone, not just business owners, around living a life of purpose when it comes to your money?
I think that's a great question. We teach what we need to learn. Once I started to work for myself, I was the worst boss I ever had. I perpetuated the hours I kept on Wall Street. I was exhausted. I never had a break. I remember speaking to a coach. I think it's important to have a coach when you have your own business. And I use Calendly to have people schedule meetings. And I said, people are scheduling meetings at 9 o'clock in the morning and I'm not ready. And she said, Laura, who controls the availability of hours on your calendar link? And I said, I do. And she said, why don't you not make that time slot available? And that was such an aha moment that I can, and certainly if clients need to meet with me at other times outside of what I now make available, which is 11 to 5, I can make more time available, but I have a much more spacious morning than I ever did. And there's a lot of overcoming preconceived notions about what being valued is, right? I still see in myself how if I'm not busy, I'm not somehow valuable. And so in addition to prospect meetings and client meetings and onboarding new clients, I have a podcast and I'm publishing weekly, writing and trying to make time outside of work. I am still discerning what's the right amount of busyness. And perhaps since I'm embedded in the culture like we all are, this will be a continual lifelong journey until perhaps physically I'm going to have to make different choices. And as I say, as I work with clients, the first thing is to be aware. Awareness is the first step. If you're not even aware of what's behind choices you're making that might not be serving you, then there's no chance of change. I am in the awareness state.
I work most of my career in a 9-to-5, and it is a different mindset when you are in charge of your own time. You're so focused and you're so conditioned to be the 9-to-5 and always busy and always working So I hope that the mindfulness that you're learning is going to help you with just understanding your time and energy and being able to plan for that. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to go on the field trips with my kids. I wanted to be able to go to the store in the middle of the day if I need to go to the store instead of being, don't move from that desk. Yeah, so it's a different mindset.
Yes. And as I listened to you, it's something for better, for worse. I raised three kids. I was the primary breadwinner, not the caregiver. My husband was. He became Dr. Mom for many years. Pulled himself back into a more part-time position. And I was not picking the kids up from the bus or being the mommy at school lunches. Now I have time to reach out to friends or women in the area who are also entrepreneurs. I'm part of a book club. This is new for me this year. It was exciting for me to be invited to a book club, to be in the company of women, which was something I did not have the ability to do for many years. I was either on a training desk with a bunch of dudes or home with my family.
I think the whole pursuit of more, so we have to work more hours to buy more stuff. We have to work more hours to feel valued. It's that constant validation, whether it's through time we work or the things that we buy. I think it's a lesson we're always learning and trying to, you know, take control of, focusing on the choices you made in the past, the choices you're making now, and building the life that you love. That's a powerful message. How do you express that to your female clients when it comes to their money? How do you help them get clear on their purpose around money?
I'm thinking of a client I just recently started to work with who they've accumulated credit card debt and having difficulty saving. And then think about choices I made when I decided it was time to leave Wall Street. Spend less than you earn. When I made the decision to leave, I had a 6,000 square foot house on an acre of land. The carrying cost of the house itself wasn't the issue. The cost of heating that house, the cost of getting the grass cut on that house was phenomenal. And the taxes, like I said, the mortgage was small. I had a vacation home and I was funding that as well. I'm a skier. We would also take a vacation at least once a year to the West Coast to ski and other vacations. And we wouldn't organize them themselves. We would use Backroads or Austin Lehman or a company that was an expensive package so I could just write the check and go. I looked very closely at my spending. It was important to me. And I think we're at different stages at different times in our lives. I was in my 50s. I wanted to not use my life to make money anymore, which I had done. I wanted to use my money to make a life. And I sold the 6,000 square foot house. I'm in a house that's half the size. I sold the vacation home. We don't vacation the same way we do. I still take the same vacations, but I'm not paying someone else to arrange the whole thing for me. I am happier than I have ever been. I embrace the decisions and it's a process. So if I'm working with a woman who wants to leave her W-2 job and start company, we started looking at their, I look at spending in three buckets. There's the bucket that is your needs. Even if you lie in bed all month and eat bonbons, you're still making these payments. You're paying your mortgage, your rent, you're paying your electric, you're paying your cleaning woman, things that are already committed to ahead of time. Those are harder to change, but we take a look at those. Do you need to live in this house? Do you need to live in the New York area, which is quite an expensive area? When you buy groceries, do you go to Whole Foods or do you go to Costco? How often are you shopping? How often are you going to concerts? Ideally, your needs are 50% or less of what you're bringing home or what you're anticipating bringing home, so that there's still 30% of your monthly income that can go to fun. And then another 20% that can go to savings. And not only savings for when you're no longer working, but savings for the big trip you want to take each year, or savings for the charity you want to give each year, or savings for your Christmas gifts. So you're not putting these things on credit cards. So when we're looking at making a life transition, those are the questions we ask. How much cushion do you have? How long can you go to get your business up to speed? Because my first year or so, I didn't make any money, actually spent some money to put things in place. So how much leeway do you have? And I realized the privilege that I had. My kids were off the payroll. I had paid for their college. I had a lot of savings. And now my academic husband is working and will have a pension when he retires. So do you have a significant other that can pay for your health insurance? So these are the kind of things that we look at and address as you anticipate making a change to move towards being your own boss and all the joys and uncertainty that comes along with it.
May I share a story with you? Something that happened today. So we have a client and she's become a very good friend and she's been a very successful business owner for the last decade, but she has never really looked at her finances. And in fact, when it comes to her finances, her anxiety goes through the roof. So as a friend, I said, let me help you set up the software. It's called youneedabudget.com. And it's just going to help you figure out where your money's going. So it took us a while, but we got her business budget on there. It took us about 6 weeks for her to actually really figure out what she was spending in the business so we could get the category set up properly. And then she did it for her personal and she did that with her husband. And it was really challenging. And she went away on vacation at the end of the year. And she said, and she probably put 60 hours of work into this over the past 3 months. And she went on vacation and was sick the entire time. And I think it was just because of all the anxiety she had around just facing where her money went. So fast forward, she is now making conscious decisions about how she's spending her money. And it's so fun because she left today to go to a conference. And she said, she texted me from the plane and she said, so funny, some of the women going to the conference are here and they're in first class. She said, I'm in the last seat by the toilet because I didn't want to spend an extra $15 to pick a seat. And she said, I feel good that I parked in the economy parking. Even though it took me longer to get there, I got a quick walk in. I feel so empowered to make these decisions. Look on the bright side. When airplanes crash, they like crash nose first and you're in the back. So yeah, but it's so empowering that and even when financial times are hard, you at least have power, the power in the information. I've got to make more money or I've really got to cut some costs or whatever it is. But and I think that is the first step for people on designing their life.
Thank you for that story. I recommend to my tech savvy clients to use something called Tiller, T-I-L-E-R, and it's a spreadsheet. It costs $75 a year. You could either do it in Excel or Google Docs, and you connect your accounts to it. It auto-categorizes for you once you set up some categories for recurring transactions. Then I, every Sunday, log on and see what's falling into that bucket that I call bills get paid. And then what's the fun spending? Am I keeping to my imagined budget? I started to work with a couple who had a lot of anxiety, exactly like your friend described about, oh my God, every time they spent money, they felt like they were doing something wrong. And they set up the spreadsheet, they shared it with me. I walked through it with them and I said, you're fine.
Oh yeah.
Like, how does this sound? You're fine. You're spending within your means. You could see the relief. We make up stories based on how we grew up. And then we're terrified to look because we imagine our story is true. And I really feel again that it's a blessing, the work that I do for people. We haven't yet addressed investing their money. Most of the time, people think that's all of what I do.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's all about your mindset. Because for our friend, the perception in her mind that she wasn't in first class like everybody else was, you have to think about it as no, because I'm prioritizing where I'm spending my money, and that's not necessary for me. So you have to feel good about those kind of decisions.
When I first started my business, I didn't have an office, so I would go to other people's homes. I still remember the first day, one of the first weeks, I had two meetings. One was with an older woman. She was in a row house in a neighborhood in Westchester. She had one of those little glass menageries on her, on the table. And she was wearing a lovely polyester pantsuit. And her big night out was going to the church to play bingo. She had millions and millions of dollars. The next meeting I had in a beautiful home with floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the pool in the backyard. They had a beautiful piano. They had under $1 million. The husband was close to retiring. They were not going to deny their kids who were about to go to college, no matter where they went in, they were going to pay the tuition. I said to them, what's your plan? Are you planning to win the lottery? Are you expecting an inheritance? It was so frightening to me. You don't know who's sitting in first class. You don't know if they're putting that on a credit card and don't have a pot to piss in. I mean, it really, how people dress, how the cars people drive, how people carry themselves, how they spend, often has little correlation to their net worth. And that is what I've learned from this work that I do.
It's so true.
So true. Laura, I could talk to you all day long. but I want to thank you so much for coming on and helping us think a little bit bigger and prioritize things, especially when you're thinking about some big life changes. Thank you so much for being with us today.
I do want to say one more thing, because I know we're all business owners. And of course, money is a scarce resource that we manage. And so is our time. And so is our energy. And so we really have to be thoughtful about how we allocate all three of those resources, and they're tied together.
So true. And you have a resource for us. It's called Unblock Your Money Blocks Workbook. It is at trueabundanceadvisors.com/workbook. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes below. We will also put where people can schedule a call and talk to you more about how you might be able to help them. Thank you so much again, Laura. This has been an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.